Of all the many ethnic groups living in Hawaii, Native Hawaiians are, by nearly every measure, the worst off. Native leaders say that's because waves of outsiders have all but destroyed what was once a highly sophisticated local culture. As part of Worlds of Difference, a series on global cultural change, John Miller reports on one small program that looks to island traditions for a way out of a particularly modern mess.
The west coast of Oahu is an hour's drive and a world away from the high-rise glitz of Waikiki. Here the beaches are littered with beer cans and diapers. Homeless families live under tarps or in the burned-out shells of cars.
They call this Cornet's Beach, but it's Mauna Lahi Lahi. I did a lot of drinking and using here.
Mona Madeira lived here briefly with her three kids. It was the low point of 2 decades of addiction to crystal methamphetamine, or ICE. ICE is a huge problem in Hawaii. Police here say the drug plays a part in most of the violent crimes committed in the state, from murder to domestic abuse.
There is a lot of people here who does drugs. There's a lot of children, and they come from dysfunctional families, just like my children did, yeah.
About a quarter of the people who live in this part of Oahu are Native Hawaiians. For Madeira, being half Hawaiian was always a source of embarrassment.
My view of Hawaiians were they were overweight, their pants hung down by their hips where you could see the crack of their butt, and they drank a lot and beat up their wives a lot. That was my view of a Hawaiian.
That view changed 5 years ago when she checked herself into a local drug treatment center called Ho'omau Ke Ola, Hawaiian for to perpetuate life as it was meant to be.
I started treatment and they started teaching me about culture. It kind of stirred something inside of me. It woke up something, yeah. It's like they teach us our spirit comes alive, yeah. Our na'au starts churning. And that's the center of our being, yeah.
Aloha.
Ho'omau Ke Ola's 14 residential clients take language lessons in the garage of the converted apartment house where they all live. It's part of a 16-week crash course on Hawaiian culture, how to cook poi and dance hula, how the ancestors built elaborate terraces for farming taro, how they carved boats from tree trunks and navigated by the stars.
In layman's term, it means the knowledge our people have is
abundant.
Since 1987, Ho'omau Ke Ola has operated as a standard accredited treatment program with a cultural component. Recently, the grassroots group that oversees the center decided to put the culture part front and center. To do it, they hired Momi Cruz Lozano as cultural coordinator. She's a heavy-set woman with traditional zigzag tattoos covering her forearms. The clients call her auntie.
A lot of them come from parents that were addicts and alcoholics, which means they were too busy drinking and smoking to teach their children the values that we have here. So what I need to do at that point is to either remind them what their values are and reinforce them, or totally reteach.
On a sunny morning, Cruz Lozano loads the group into a battered white van and heads for a heiau, an ancient fertility shrine in a grove of trees about 15 minutes inland.
Okay, we're going to stand over there by the fence. You guys going only are going to listen, and then we can only come on and go on up.
To get in, they have to chant to their ancestors for permission, then wait for a sign that it's okay to enter. For Hawaiians, the ancestors, or kupuna, are everywhere, in the trees, the wind, the stones, the water. So everyday life is filled with protocols, little rituals that serve as a sort of running conversation with the past and with the natural world. Cruz Lozano says drug addiction and modern life in general disconnect people from their traditions, from their families, from nature. The point of the cultural training is to try at least to reestablish those links. The moment the chanting is finished, a breeze comes up and rustles the branches.
The wind came, yeah? You guys never noticed.
Cruz Lozano says the biggest challenge for these people is to take what they learn here and make it work on the outside. She says there's a surprising amount of help out there, from a growing number of graduates of the program to a formal network of support groups.
The people I heard the most
was my kids, yeah? Besides committing suicide slowly by using drugs, I was hurting the ones who loved me the most, was my children.
Back in town, the clients sit in a circle of chairs in the program's air-conditioned office. Today, a client named Moses presents a collage about his life made of cutouts from magazines.
Today, this is my goal, is to be with my kids and watch them grow up, yeah? Because I didn't get to see my first two girls grow up.
Moses is 40, a car mechanic and a father of three. He's on his third round here, sent each time by Child Protective Services. Treatment for ICE addiction often takes 3 or 4 times to work, if it works at all. The biggest problem is time. 2.5 months of residential treatment is all the government will pay for.
I think if we had another month, our odds and our success rate would improve. And if we had 2 other months, it would get even stronger. I think we do good with the very little time we have, but is it enough? No.
Work detail at Ka'ala Farm, a 97-acre cultural learning center in the lush green hills above the coast. Today the group is helping build a shelter where visitors will learn how to make paper from bark.
Can we bring down?
Eric Enos runs the farm. He has a close-cropped salt and pepper beard and wears a baseball cap turned backward on his head. Since the 1980s, he's been teaching addicts and convicts and school groups how their ancestors lived in harmony with the land.
Our whole purpose is how do we prepare for the future? The values that our ancestors have given us, the idea that you have to leave for the future generations a better place, are very important lessons that we can learn and apply today for tomorrow.
Enos is a leader of a burgeoning cultural revitalization movement, an upwelling of language schools, boat-building workshops, night school classes, teaching hula. He says he's not interested in culture as an escape or a hobby. Along with his work at the farm, he's been pushing for job training in community centers and child care programs, all based on Hawaiian principles.
I listened to people 20 years ago, and I still see them still talking the same line, you know, just saying the same thing, but not doing it. And you got to go out there and do it. Building community is falling, getting up, falling, getting up, and hopefully you don't stumble over that same rock.
In a grassy clearing, a 24-year-old addict named Alicia sings and plays the ukulele. She wears short shorts and sunglasses. There's a cigarette tucked behind her ear. This morning, she broke down crying, worried that she might never regain custody of her two kids who were taken away by the courts. Between that and the drugs and problems with her parents, it's going to take a lot of falling and getting up before she puts her life together. She says she's not sure she can do it. The counselors tell her she can, that she'll need help, but that everything she needs is already here. For NPR News, I'm John Miller in Waianae, Hawaii.
Worlds of Difference is a project of Homelands Productions. Pictures and additional comments from those interviewed are at npr.org.